This with me today, I receive the word of God to profit me and reproof me, to convict me and instruct me, that I may become perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Does that sound familiar? You just quoted 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to minister your word. And Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would take the words that come out of my mouth and penetrate the hearts of your people. Lord, that not one person that walked through these doors will be the same, but God, they'll have substance from the word of God, that it'll bring direction, it'll give them wisdom, it'll give them the knowledge that they need, that they may continue to do and fulfill the plans and purposes that you have for their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. If you have your Bibles open with me to Numbers chapter 13, I'd like to title this message on overcoming the grasshopper mentality. The other day, I was home and been very, very busy schedule for us. God's opened up some great doors for us, but I was fortunate enough to be home and with my wife, and we have two full-blooded schnauzers. They're brothers from two different litters, and my wife gave them a treat. And one of them came over with their treat and sat next to me and ate their treat and looked at me like there was such an appreciation for that treat. So I said to that schnauzer, that was Petey, I said, Petey, why do you think you're so good that you deserve a treat? And he looked at me as if he were saying, now I want to clarify this, my dogs don't speak, okay? And I wasn't hearing voices. But he looked at me as if he were saying, it's not because I'm so good, it's because you're so good. And I realized that's how God sees us. It's not because I'm so good that God wants to bless me. It's because he is so good. And when you look in the rear view mirror of your life, all that you should see following you is goodness and mercy. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And the only thing that should be ahead of you is Jeremiah 29:11. God's thinking, I've got a good plan for you. And when you look outside your peripheral visions, you should see some angels encamped about you. For they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him shall I trust. So God has a good plan for you. God had a good plan for these children, the children of Israel. And here in chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, starting with verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which if they fast enough and pray enough and do enough good works, I might give them the land. Is that what your Bible says? Doesn't say that? No, mine doesn't either. But I'm trying to help somebody here. He said, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to them. I'm giving this land to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one of you, a leader among them. So Moses sent from them the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord, and all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. So these were the head of the children of Israel, and it goes and names it. And then it picks up here in verse 17. Then Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, or whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage, bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes, so they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath, and they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshaiah, and Tahmai. And the descendants of Anak were there, Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between the two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men cut down. They returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel and in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh, and they brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, "Let us go," and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." I like that, don't you? You are well able. I said, you are well able. You are well able to have what God says you can have. You are well able to be what God says you can be. You are well able to do what God says you can do. You are well able to go where God says to go. You are well able. Don't ever let anyone talk you out of the fact that you're not able, because God said, "I'm giving you the land." Yes. See, a grasshopper mentality is the kind of mentality where for some reason you just don't feel you're adequate enough to do what God called you to do. That's why it's so important that we feed on the Word of God on a daily basis. One of the greatest things that hinders people from really doing what God's called them to do is this thing called condemnation. It's a negative judgment. I realize there's a positive way of judging yourself. The Word of God says, "Judge yourself, lest you be judged." And I understand that. But it's a negative judgment that you allow to be put on you because of some things that are in your past. That's why it's so important that you realize that the Word of God says that only goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say all your mistakes shall follow you all the days of your life. That you shall never overcome your mistakes. You shall be plagued with the wrong decisions you made all your life. See, God doesn't want you to live in the land of regret or what could have been or should have been. God wants you to live in the land of "I am well able, and with God all things are possible." That's the land God wants you to live in. All His promises are yes and amen. And so this grasshopper mentality is a mentality of, "I'm not good enough because of where I came from." And that's what Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore there is now." When? Now. "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh." And something about the flesh likes to live in the land of penance. How many of you know what penance is? If you were a good Catholic, you know what penance is. That is, I need to pay for the sins. I need to show my sorrow for the mistakes that I made so God may forgive me. God's already forgiven you. Your forgiveness was provided for you at the cross of Calvary. And there's nothing greater than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that will cleanse you and set you free. So therefore, we need to realize there is no condemnation. There is no judgment. There is no one's opinion that can stop God's plan for your life. And see, a grasshopper mentality is a mentality is when you feel like you're too small. Or a grasshopper mentality may come in because someone else tells you you're not capable. I'm so thankful for a pastor who believes in us. I am so thankful for a pastor who believes in us. I know when we began to plant this church and we were just about ready to go, and for those who don't know this, I went to Columbia for the first 2 years and my wife stayed back and stayed on staff while I was there in Columbia. But right before we departed, a pastor friend of mine said to me, he says, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, The plan right now is I'm going to go to Columbia and Vicky's going to stay back. He said, that'll never work. You can't do that. That will never work. And I looked at him. I said, well, I don't have any other choice. This is what we're going to do. And you know what? 16 years later, it's worked. We've been a debt-free ministry for 4 years. 37 acres, almost $3 million worth of property, all paid for. A successful congregation, a good congregation. And God's blessed us. And I can't tell all the story now, but there's been some things that have happened in our ministry that's elevating us to be recognized even in our own city. And we're excited about what God's doing at Family Worship Center. But it's because we had a pastor who believed in us. If I would have listened to this other pastor, it would have never happened. I could have gone home and said, honey, we better not go. This pastor said, we can't do it. We can't make it. See, that's what grasshopper mentality will do. It will talk you out of the will of God instead of talking you into doing the will of God. And so one of the things that I see here in the Word of God, and you have to read it for yourself for the sake of time, I'm just going to go over a few points here. But you need to read this story, and you'll see some things that I see here in Numbers chapter 13. First of all, the majority isn't always right. And just because they have a title doesn't mean they have the right to mislead you. Ten of the heads of tribes brought an evil report. And this word evil means truth that was distorted in a way to mislead people. It's deviant. It's actually wicked and ungodly. How many of you really want revival in Fort Worth? I want revival in Columbia. I read this book by Charles Finney, someone who was very familiar with revival. And one of the things that he said in his book, and I'll never forget it, and that is to tell the truth with the purpose of hurting someone's reputation is slander. These guys told some of the truth, but with the purpose to delay or even stop God's plan for their lives. So that's a grasshopper mentality. They looked at the circumstances, and as you read the Bible, you'll see, go on and read this passage of Scripture, you'll see that they said, and we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, and so we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and they saw us as grasshoppers. And see, that's a mentality you're going to have to shake. You cannot let the fear of man or the opinion of others stop God's plan for your life. See, if the fear of a man, the Bible says, is a snare, it's a trap. If you're so concerned about what other people think, you're never going to do the will of God. There's time you're just going to have to step out in faith and trust God. Amen. And when all the naysayers say it can't be done, God says it can be done. Amen. Now, I wasn't here in 1964, but I understand this work started in a post office, a commercial building. And your pastor ran a jackhammer. You think he ran a jackhammer because he loved construction? No, he ran a jackhammer because he was building a vision. And no one told him that he couldn't do it. Anybody ever study the bumblebee? Did you know scientifically the bumblebee can't fly? But no one told him that. So therefore he flies. His body's too fat and big. His wings are too small. But yet no one's told him he can't fly. And therefore he flies. How many of you ladies like diamonds? Yeah? You really like diamonds? Well, just recently, scientists have discovered that around the circles and the rings of Saturn are these huge asteroids, larger than our cars. And they're diamonds. And that the core of Saturn is so hot that as the gravitational pull of Saturn pulls these asteroids in, that those asteroids come into the atmosphere of Saturn and it actually rains diamonds. When I told that to my wife, she said, I want to go on a road trip. I'm telling you, we serve a big God. There are diamonds bigger than your house floating in space. Think about it for a moment. Is anything too hard for God? See, Caleb had the right spirit. We are well able. you are well able to be a history maker and a world shaker. You can because God says you can. It doesn't matter what anybody else says, you can because God says you can. Well, this grasshopper mentality comes or gets a stronghold through murmuring and complaining. They began to murmur and complain. Read the story. Oh, I wish we could go back to Egypt. See, a grasshopper mentality is always looking for someone to take them back, not for someone to take them forward. It's too hard. There's giants in the lands. Well, hasn't anybody told you yet that you're a giant killer? Hasn't anybody told you that with God all things are possible? Hasn't anybody told you that God said, I'm giving you the land? If God said he's giving you the land, he has a plan to remove the giants. He has a plan to remove the mountains. He has a plan already in motion. All you have to do is receive it. So the grasshopper mentality goes on and tries to weigh on people's emotions. Oh, we were brought out here that we might become victims. See, a grasshopper mentality always has a victim mentality. And a victim mentality is, it's always somebody else's fault why I can't do God's will. It's never my fault. But when we start taking responsibility for who we are and what God's called us to do, and we start believing God's word and taking it at face value, there is nothing that's impossible with God. Nothing. Your greatest days are ahead of you. So what are some of the things that I see here in the Word of God that really helps us to overcome this? Well, believe God's Word above all things. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, the last part of it says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. You know that word prove me in Malachi that Charlie was sharing? You know, it means get established in this. Don't be double-minded. Don't be discouraged or disappointed. This is a matter of fact. That's what it means. And as you believe God, you'll become established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. I'm hearing the prophets say, our greatest day is ahead of us. God's not through with America. God's not through yet. And he's not through with you. Your greatest day is ahead of you. God has a plan for you, but we just have to get rid of that grasshopper mentality. Next thing I see is be careful not to question the direction or the vision that's been given by the Lord. See, vision comes from God, and the vision of the house comes through the man of God. Paul equates the body of Christ to the natural body. You have a head, you have a body, and the head has all five of the senses. The head sees, the head hears, the head smells, the head tastes, and the head feels. But from the neck down, the body has only one sense, and that's feelings. And eye vision is when someone comes in to the house with a different vision than that came from the head of the house. Or sometimes it comes in when somebody else wants to use this platform to get you to support their vision. Well, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to start a church here. I'm going to start a ministry here and I need you to support that vision. No. What you really need to do, honey, is go to your pastor and ask his blessing upon you. This is what we did. And we've seen great results. This church did support us and still supports us. Pastor's there when we need him. And we appreciate that. We didn't have to go start some rumors or start a mail list from anybody else or anywhere else. We were single directors. We didn't ask the singles to support our ministry in Columbia. We let this man bless us. And we're more prosperous today than other ministries that gone out and did their own thing. I don't know why I said that, but I felt like I needed to. But see, those types of attitudes bring division. What would have happened if I would have gone to the singles and said, now everybody listen to me. I'm going to Columbia, and I need you to send your tithes and your offerings to me while we're up there, because we just don't know how we're going to make it. We didn't do that. And there are some of you that were in that ministry when we were associates here. We wouldn't do that to this man. That's unethical. See, I'm a shepherd now. I understand what it means to have real sheep. And it's not my place to jump the fence to my neighbor's sheep and shear them and take all the wool and go home and go, I don't know what happened. Or put sheep food in my pocket and leave a hole in my pocket and leave a trail so you follow me. I don't know what happened. It's not the way it's supposed to happen. And that's division. And that's one of the things that happened with these men. These men brought leaders, you could say it this way, department heads brought division. And the majority followed them. But the majority is not always right. Ask yourself, does it go along with the vision of the house? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak. Now we know Paul was a Texan right there, it tells you. That you all speak the same thing. It's talking about the vision. You know what's going on in this house? 43,000 commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ in over a year. That's what's going on in this house. You know what's going on in this house? Revival's going on in this house. You know what's going on in this house? Healing's going on in this house. The Spirit of the Lord's in this place, and God's happy about this place. That there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. And what happened was that these 10 leaders caused confusion in the people. And when Joshua and Caleb went to them and tried to settle them down and say, listen, we can do this, they were so encouraged by Joshua and Caleb's enthusiasm that they wanted to stone them. No, they had a grasshopper mentality. They bought the lie. And as a result, it delayed, but it did not stop God's promise for their lives. God had to remove those with the grasshopper mentality. It took them a period of time in this situation, 40 years. But yet God still fulfilled, and he raised up a Joshua generation that's making a difference. And I'm here to tell you, as a man of God, by the voice of the Lord, God's raised up a Joshua generation at Calvary Cathedral International, and your best days are ahead of you. You're a Joshua generation. You're a new generation. You're a new breed. You know, I work at not being jealous at 43,000 commitments to the Lord. And so as I pray, I said, now, Lord, guard my heart. Don't let me get jealous because I'm a son. And everything I see in the Word of God says that the Son will do twice as much as the Father. Hallelujah. That's good. Don't fulfill prophecy in your own strength. You may get a word of the Lord, and you may think it's supposed to happen one way. Don't get so set in your mind that this word is supposed to happen a certain way. In the book of Judges, there was a prophetess named Deborah. And she went to Barak, and she went and said to him, look, God has ordained you to deliver Israel. And in a nutshell, he said, well, I won't go unless you go. And Deborah said, well, it will be said that Israel was delivered by the hand of a woman. And immediately we all think, what? Deborah. But it wasn't Deborah who killed the enemy. It was Jael. Did the word come to pass? Did it come to pass the way you thought it would? Did it come to pass the way maybe Barak thought it would or Deborah thought it would? No, but did it come to pass? See, the word of the Lord will always come to pass. And we need to be careful that we try not to get in our own strength to make something happen, but we get into the place where we thank God that he's making it happen. Don't fulfill prophecy in your own strength. And the last thing I have here is, be careful that someone doesn't taint the vision that God has for you. Each and every one of you are a part. And I'll say it like this. I heard another pastor say it, so I'm going to borrow it from him. If you cut your finger off, your body will survive without your finger. But your finger will never survive without your body. And this is one reason why we believe that we've seen the success that we've seen is because we have never been separated. Speaking of this pastor, we've never been separated. It hasn't happened. And by the grace of God, it will never happen. Amen. Because we're a church plant, and we represent this house there in Columbia, Missouri. And, you know, there's people there, they don't know Calvary Cathedral International, they don't know Pastor Bob Nichols, but God does. And that's the most important thing. The vision of this house was, one of the vision was, and still is, to raise up ministers and plant churches to go into the uttermost parts of the world. You have Uganda. You have other places. I can't remember all the places off the top of my head. You have Rufus Wynot in Romania. You have David Chisholm, who's pioneering his third church in Columbus, Ohio. Now, folks, I'm from Columbia, not Columbus. That's the other son. He's shorter. Pastor always said that Dave and I were the long and the tall things, short, the long and the short of things. So, but... you have us. This is all part of the vision. Amen? And you have to guard your heart and not let someone tell you, you can't, or this church will never be what God says it can be. That's a grasshopper mentality. That's a mentality of, we can't because somebody else said we can't. Well, I'm not here to listen to what other people have to say. And I'm going to close with this statement. People will criticize you for two reasons. Only two reasons. They will criticize you for being a success. They'll say you stole it, you lied, you cheated. I remember I received my Eagles badge award from the Boy Scouts, and I wasn't even old enough to legally receive it, so I had to wait to turn 13 and a half. And I went on a camp out about a year later, and these guys came up to me and said, we know that you cheated to get your Eagles badge. How do you cheat, you know? I never did figure that out. Just criticizing you for being a success. And people criticize you for being a failure. So in other words, don't let the opinion of man shape you or mold you, because he'll always make it too small. Let God's opinion of you shape you and mold you. Because, see, God's design for you is to be a world shaker and a history maker. I'm here to tell you that with God, yes, you can. I'm here to tell you with God, you can have everything that God says you can have. You can go where God says you can go. You can do what God says you can do. You can say what God says you can say. And you can be everything what God says you can be. Did you get something out of the Word of God tonight? You know, if you found yourself in a place where you'd say, you know, Pastor Tom, I feel like maybe I've let that grasshopper mentality in. What do I need to do? Just ask God to forgive you. Just ask God to help you, not to allow that back in your mind. Just ask God to give you the grace to say and be what he said you can say and be. Just call upon God. Say, God, forgive me. I realize I've let this thing in my mind. I've let other people shape my world. I've let the opinion of other people determine my destiny. Just say, God, forgive me. Because he's a merciful God. He wants you more free of other people's opinion than you want to be free of them yourself. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a man of God and a representation of the Word of God, I cut off every assignment of the opinion of other people that's contrary to your will, your plans, and your purpose for this congregation. And Lord, I just ask right now in the name of Jesus that anyone's been hurt or suffered a setback from someone else's opinion, I pray, God, that right now you just reach down into the very depths of their heart, heal them, and set them free. For whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. And we thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for coming out and worshiping with us tonight. It's such an honor to be here. God bless you. Pastor Vicki and I, we love you guys. We pray for you often. So thankful that we were a part of this house. God bless you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you ready to act on